I'm so thankful that we do have a Savior that we can depend upon and a God that loves us, cares for us, and brings us along every step of the way. So thankful for that. Turn with me to the book of Psalm, chapter number 25. Someone would say, Brother Shane, you spend a lot of time in the book of Psalm. Well, there's a lot of Psalms there. So we'll spend some good time there and enjoy studying the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 25, verse number 1 is where I'll begin reading, but really my text verse is going to be in verse number 4, and we'll use that one verse truly as our launching pad for tonight. But I'm thankful that we have the Word of God here. Look with me in Psalm chapter number 25. Look at verse number 1 with me. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Look at this verse with me. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Look at verse number 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Boy, the psalmist here, David, is going again, once again, and we amazingly look at what these scriptures have to say. But verse number 4 with me says this once again, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Boy, that's an important thing for us to be able to look at the paths of God and what God has in store for each and every one of us. And as we look into this psalm, we find David once again that's speaking in the personal sense. I love the fact that he uses personal pronouns when he's talking about God. How he's my God, how he's my deliverer. In Psalm chapter number 18, that he was my fortress and he's my shield. And how personal that truly is. And I'm so glad that we have a personal God that still loves us and cares for us. And he personally cares for our needs. And he personally has granted salvation for each and every one of us. And will one day personally come back and receive us to himself. What a promise that really truly is, personal God that we serve. But David here is using once again these personal pronouns as we go through and he's writing these words down with his pen, and he says that look through that chapter when you get a chance sometime, and he says that my soul, he goes on through several of the verses, he says my soul, my God, my enemies, my salvation, my youth, my eyes, my feet, my heart, my distresses, my afflictions, my pain, my sins. But at the very end of it, he goes through and says that my trust. Boy, as you go through the entire chapter, he talks about all of those personal things that is with him. But God cares for us personally. Now, I know people that I have an idea of how people are, but I may not know them personally. But I know the God of this universe. Personally, I know him and he knows me. And whatever the occasion that David is pinning down these words in this psalm, it is one that drove him to his knees. You begin to look through this psalm and you study the 22 verses of this psalm, you see that the very first 7 verses, which we already read this evening, is a prayer. It starts out with a prayer. And whatever this is that causes him to go down to his knees, he's praying. And I'll be honest with you, that's a good place to be. Prayer is a wonderful place to be. As a matter of fact, God tells us to pray, how? Without ceasing. So therefore, being in a state of prayer is a great thing. And it takes him to that position of prayer. And a praying Christian is amazing to me, because a praying Christian is a teachable Christian. You want to see a teenager that... Well, praise the Lord. I was trying to think of teachable teenagers, but I don't think teenager and teachable are supposed to be going in the same sentence, does it? But I tell you, that's a joke, by the way. Those of you that have teenagers don't think it's much of a joke right now. But teachable teenagers would be oxymoron, I guess. That would be one of those difficult things. But a Christian that doesn't ever pray, that doesn't ever go before God, that doesn't ask God for help, those people are not teachable people. But the ones that are asking God, then God is going to be able to teach those Christians. And one that is looking to hear from God and the guidance that he has, that God will grant that guidance as well. And that's a major theme that you look through this chapter is guidance. We have so many options for guidance today. We have guidance systems in our cars. We have guidance systems on our phones. Some of us men even have guidance systems in the passenger seat. And sometimes those guidance systems conflict one another. And you choose who you choose you this day whom you will serve. Leave that up to yourself, praise God. Don't bring me into that. But there are guidance systems that each and every one of us have, and we have those options that we have. And to be honest with you, there's no greater guidance that we have than the God that has created all things. The creator of all things. And to be honest with you, I've been thinking about this, and I read a quote that many years ago. It said, Abraham Lincoln said this, that I have often been driven to my driven to God by an overwhelming sense that I had nowhere else to go. And David here is pretty much in a state where I don't have anywhere else to go. But I'll go to God. And what greater place can we go to than to go to God, to go to Jesus Christ, our Savior, to go to Him and to give Him our problems, give Him our trials, give Him our issues of life. We sing that old hymn, where could I go but to the Lord? Now, I believe that Peter quite possibly had the very best response when Jesus Christ looked at his disciples and said, are y'all going to go as well? Are you going to leave me as well? And I'm paraphrasing because they didn't say y'all back then, but I'm from Georgia and I say y'all, praise the Lord. He said, are you going to leave? Are you going to go as well? And Peter said this, he said it to Jesus. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Because thou hast the words of eternal life. What greater response is truly that is, where could we go but to the Lord Jesus Christ? Where could we go but to God? And David's plea here, and we begin to look through these very first prayer, he has a plea to God, and he's begging God for mercy. He's saying, God, protect me in the very first three verses. Verses 4 and 5, he says, God, pilot me, show me, direct me, guide me, where as to the direction that I need to go in. In verses 6 and 7, he says, God, pardon me. Don't remember my iniquities. God, forgive me of my iniquities, the sins that I have in my life. Forget those, God. And I'm so glad that I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has taken my sins, washed me white as snow, and has forgotten about those sins, praise the Lord. You say the world brings them back up. Well, that's not God doing that to us. That's the devil himself. That's the demons of this world that are trying to bring those times up and remember that past. No, forget that past because you are a new creature in Christ. God has created you anew. But those first seven verses are the first of three prayers that we find. That very first one is the one in the beginning in verses 1 through 7. Then there's a prayer found in this chapter right in the middle, verse number 11. And then it concludes, this chapter concludes at the very end with another prayer, 15 through 22, those verses there. But with guidance that's being truly our theme that we look at in this chapter, we have to consider the paths that we travel. Now I'm going to ask you a question and I want your honest answer. How many of you remember how you got here tonight? Good, because we can't take all of you home. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that you remember, recall. And how many of us are really truly creatures of habit? We are all creatures of habit. We probably drove the same way tonight that we drove last Wednesday night. We probably drove the same route that we drove possibly even Sunday morning and Sunday night when we came here. We drove down the same road. We saw the same thing. We passed the same houses. We ran the same stop signs. Probably got caught in the same school zones. I'm meddling now, praise the Lord. But those times that you have, we are creatures of habit. And when we get to, now this is going to be where everybody gets mad at Brother Shane. And when we get to where we're going, we go and we sit in the same places. Amen. We do. You hit the same pothole in the same place. Yeah, there you go. You go to the same ones. You're in the same direction. You're going to the same places. We're sitting in the same pews all the time. And even in the animal kingdom, you look at that. The animal kingdom. How many of you have a dog that has worn a path in the backyard that they travel back and forth, back and forth? They're in one of those spots that they just continue on. We're just creatures of habit. But it's very important that we remember what path that we take. It's very important that we choose the right path to take. There are paths that many people will try to lead us astray with. There are many paths that go lead us astray in such a way that we would get into trouble, especially when we're considering a path that leads to death or life. It is very important. And the path of God is what we really, really, truly need to be considering today in chapter number 25, verse number 4, our text verse. Look at it with me one more time. Show me thy ways. David's talking to God. Show me your ways, the direction that you're going in, the path that you want me to travel in. Oh Lord, teach me thy paths. Now the Bible tells us that his ways are not our ways. The way that he thinks is not the same way that we think. But we do need to consider what God is telling us and the Lord is teaching us and the direction that God is telling us to do. Now, there are several paths that you can choose. There is the path of man. It was so important that God put it twice in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 14, verse number 12. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 14, verse number 12. It's also found in chapter number 16, verse number 25. It's duplicate verses and it's so important. It says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, man thinks that we have it all figured out. But Joseph, God thinks that we think many times we have it all figured out and maybe I can make it a different route and I can make it a different way. God continues to tell us, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. And if we continue to stay in the direction that we are going in, that we will lead ourselves into a place of destruction, a place of death, a place of turmoil. And I'll be honest with you, I think that without a shadow of a doubt that we need to make sure that we do not take the path that we think is best. Then we have the path of man, then we have the path of Satan. The path of Satan is very obvious. According to Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 13, the book of Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 13, very familiar. It says, enter ye in the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. See, the way of Satan is something that he's going to continue to bring you in and allow you, hey, this is going to be the easy path. This is going to be the easy way. It's going to be a very easy path for us. And boy, I'll tell you, it may be easy going, but eventually it's going to catch up with you. And the end thereof is a way of destruction. The end thereof of Satan's path is one that we will be led astray. And let me tell you that he is willing to lead you astray. He desires to lead you astray. And you say, well, Brother Shane, which path should we be on? Well, then there's the third path that I believe we need to be on, and it's the path of God. The path of God that we have here in Psalm chapter number 25, verse number 4, it says, lead me in thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, O God. This path is always better than our own. And this being this prayer, I would want to preach a little while, but I want us to close out a little soon and maybe do a little bit of praying. Because we need to pray for the path of God to be opened up to our hearts and to up our minds and to open up to what God really has in store for us. And we consider, well, what is it that really truly is the path of God? Well, the path of God has a leader. I'm so glad that it has a leader. Do y'all remember playing Follow the Leader as a kid? Or am I the only one that did that? I would play Follow the Leader as a child, and I would make sure that we would go down these steps, and I want to make sure that I'd skip a step so everybody else had to skip a step, or either Simon Says sort of thing, and it has a leader, and there is a leader for everybody. And I'll be honest with you, there are people that think that they are leading, and they are really not leading. They are just following something else, another example. But the example that we really truly need to be leading or following is the great leader, Jesus Christ. That example is the one that has a leader. How many of you get lost and you just go through? You get lost as a ball in high weeds. You just don't know where in the world direction that you're going in. It seems like you thought that you're going this way and you're going that way. I have one of my children that he didn't even figure out how to get back from his own grandpa's house one time because GPS died. How you like that? You say, Brother Shane, are you serious? As a heart attack. But after he went over for a little bit and found a place to charge his phone up and got his phone charged up, then he could get it plugged back in and charged up, and he was able to get home and was able to recover him. Praise God. I'll let y'all choose which one of those boys it was. It wasn't Amber, glory to God. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. But hey, you get lost. Do you have a guide? Do you have a guide that's going to bring you to where you need to be going? And are you watching the signs? I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of times that I know exactly the direction that I'm going in. And I know where I'm supposed to be going. I remember one time I got on the interstate one time and I was talking to Heather. And Heather said, baby, I think we're going the wrong direction. I said, no, we're going the right direction. I know where I'm at. I'm on 75 north. She says, well, why does the sign say 75 south? I said, well, apparently the signs are wrong. I didn't want to admit that I was wrong, but I did. I had to, because I had to get down to Locust Grove and turn around and come back up towards this area. And I traveled way far out of the way. And boy, there's times that we go and we just kind of forget the leader. We forget that, hey, I'm not going to follow that pathway anymore because I think I know better. But we need to get behind the leader that knows where he's going. We need to get behind the leader that knows exactly what's happening, and he knows the future, and he knows what we need to have in our life. And Job even said it this way in Job 33, verse number 11. He said, he putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths. He knows without a shadow of a doubt what direction that I'm going in. And I know that he has my best interest at heart. And thank God that he is one that is marking all my paths. And if I just follow the signs that he has laid out for me. You say, well, what are the signs that he's laid out for you? Well, thank God that he's given me a great, wonderful guidebook already. Thank God that he speaks to me. I speak to him every morning, making sure that, hey, God, what direction do I need to go in? God, put somebody in my path this morning. Make sure that I can tell somebody about you. Make sure that I can do something great for you. I remember we would, years and years ago, had gone horseback riding down on vacation one time. And I said, now, listen, I'm going out somewhere where I don't know where I am. And what if we get separated? They say, don't worry, Mr. Roy, you'll be fine. The horse knows where it needs to go. Now, you want to talk about being insulted. That you don't know where you are, but that dad-blasted animal knows better than what you do. Well, I sure am glad, because that horse would just walk along, and all of a sudden I wanted to go one path and that horse wouldn't let me go the way I wanted to go. It took me down the path that he knew he was supposed to be going. That animal knew exactly better than I knew. There's times, boy, there are times where I want to go down, Brother Jim, I want to go down a path, or I want to go down a direction that I want to go in, but there's somebody that's guiding me. There's somebody that knows better. And there's someone that's pushing me aside. Now, he won't force me the way that horse did. He forced me to go that direction. But I will tell you this, that I can feel a nudge from him every once in a while. I can feel a nudge from the Holy Spirit of God that'll say, hey, this is the path. I'm leading you in the right direction. And this path, I can guarantee you, it is very sure. You need to make sure that you're following this path, and make sure. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 6. Says it this way, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways. See, Brother Shane, does that mean I need to pray about where I need to go pick up some gasoline? I believe it'd be a good thing to pray, because guess what? There may be somebody you need to witness to on the other side of that pump. What about where I need to eat at today, Brother Shane? Do I need to pray about that? I believe that that'd be a great thing to pray about, because what if there's a waitress or a waiter or somebody behind a register that you need to speak to, or to hand a tract to, or to tell somebody about Jesus Christ? What if somebody has been dealing with something and God needs you to stop by that way? Boy, that's a thing that we need to make sure that we're doing it, and we need to acknowledge him in all of our ways. And that wonderful map book that we had, or we have with us, that path has a leader for us, and that knows the way that he's going in. And I'll be honest with you, you don't get accidentally off the path when you're following the leader that knows the way to go. Somebody says, well, I didn't know that I was going wayward. Well, if you continue to be behind the leader, you stay behind that one that has given you the right directions. But not only is God's path with a leader that is sure, but it's stable. That pathway is stable that he has. Psalm chapter number 37, verse number 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Well, I want to make it my own way. Well, you better delight in God's way. You better delight in the way that that leader has for you. And it's ordered. I love that word ordered, because that word ordered means so much more than just setting up something. It actually means to be set up in a specific order or direction. And if the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and if he is setting up our steps, that he knows without a shadow of a doubt what we need to be doing to be able to get to where he needs us to be, then we better be consulting the great leader. We better be consulting God Almighty with what we have, because the path is stable. We can know without a shadow of a doubt that God has helped us with that, and he is a leader for us. But then also, number two, God's pathway, not only does it have a leader, but thank God it has a light. Have y'all ever walked out on a pathway that was really dark, and the next thing you know, you were on the wrong path? Or you got in the wrong direction? Or maybe you just found yourself in a mud hole? I know I'm preaching to good people today. But we have a God that is the light for us. And every good gift, it talks about in James, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh from the Father of lights. He's directing us. John chapter number 1. I want you to turn over with me. John chapter number 1. Look with me real quickly. I want you to see this. John chapter number 1. These verses have just blessed my soul for years and years and years. But John chapter number 1. Look at verse number 6 with me. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Look at verse number 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of thee. And I want you to look at that. According to your Bible, there is a capital letter, I hope, with that word, light. To bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, John, speaking of John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Who is the light that we're talking about? The light that God we're talking about here is the Lord Jesus Christ. God Almighty himself, incarnate in flesh, Jesus Christ is the light. God's Word, he says that he is the Word of God. And God's Word is the one that sheds the light on the pathway, the direction that we should go in. The one that tells us every step of the way where we should be going. And I love the book of Psalms because it gives us so much more. But if you want you to look with me in Psalm chapter number 119. Psalm chapter 119. Now I know I'm not going to preach the whole chapter, don't worry. But there's only one verse I want you to look at. Psalm chapter number 119, verse number 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want to be on the right direction? You want to know what the direction? God's path has a light. Light that shows us exactly where we're going up, what direction are we going in. You can clearly see the direction that you're going in. Now, when you're fumbling around in the dark, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall. But if you're holding on to the light that God has given to us, according to Psalm 105, hold that light is the Word of God, and we can have that light to show us exactly what direction that we're going in. Psalm chapter number 119, 105 tells us that He will guide us. He will give us direction. And now also, chapter number 17 in the book of Psalm, verse number 5, it says this, that hold up my goings and my path, that my footsteps slip not. Not only will He guide us, but He'll guard us. He'll guard your steps every step of the way. You are less likely to fall when you're walking in the light. Let me say that one more time. You are less likely to fall if you're walking in the light. I know it's difficult for us to say, and we say, well, Brother Shane, I've been a Christian for so many years and I've got this down pat. Oh, be careful. My mom used to say this, oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Well, boy, I tell you, That light is something that I want to make sure that I stay on. That path with the light is one thing that I want to stay on. And I don't want to fall, slip and fall because I wandered away from the light. I don't want to slip and fall because I had decided that I want to go my own direction. And this is the thing that I love about it. Brother John, God's pathway has a light that's leading me to a wonderful place. I can see the lights of home. Many years ago, we traveled out to west part of country, and we were driving through. I got a hankering to go camping. One Friday morning, I said, Heather, let's go to Carlsbad Caverns. She said, okay, when? I said, let's leave tomorrow. She said, are you serious? I said, absolutely. So we drove down to Orange Beach, Alabama, stayed a night down there, and then we drove over to Houston, Texas, and we stayed a night there. And then I thought, hey, we want to get to Carlsbad Caverns, so we're going to leave Houston at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to drive, and we're going to be at Carlsbad Caverns, New Mexico, before too late. I didn't realize it was 715 miles. And traveling with a 5, 3, and 3-month-old was very difficult. But I do remember this, that Brother Jerry, I do remember that as we were traveling down that road, I was thinking, we got to be close. We got to be close because this is the road. It tells me that my destination is on this road, and I'm driving down through there, and I started seeing lights. And I started seeing the lights on the horizon. And Heather woke up one time, Brother Joseph, she said, how much further do you think we're going to be? I said, oh, we're probably going to be there in 30 minutes. She said, why do you think it's only 30 minutes away? I said, because I can see the lights. The lights are already showing on the horizon. So we're in good shape, baby. Tell the kids to wake up. We'll be setting up camp here in just a little bit. And I'll be all right. We'll be eating supper in Carlsbad Caverns, New Mexico in just a little bit. 30 minutes drove by, and the lights weren't any bigger. I kept on looking. She said, how much longer do you think it's going to be, Shane? I said, 30 minutes. It's got to be 30 minutes because those lights are not that far away. 2.5 hours later, we finally got to the city limits. See, I'll be honest with you, Brother John, I think that there's been a lot of Christians that have been hearing preaching about the lights of home or in the distance. Some of those Christians, at one point, Sister Heather even said, now, Shane, I hate to even ask you this, but how much longer do you think it's going to be? And I had to say, I have no idea. But when we get there, it's going to be good. I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back. But the path that I'm on is the one that God gave me to travel. And I'm traveling to the lights that I have seen in what He's given me in the pathway. And I'm looking forward to those lights that I'm seeing off into the distance. And I believe that those lights are getting brighter, Dr. Harper. I really, truly do. I really believe that it's getting closer. And that light is a wonderful thing, but I believe that it's just around the corner. But that's the pathway that I'm going through. Why? Because that pathway leads to life. Matthew chapter number 7, we already read verse number 13, but verse number 14 is the way of God's way. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The words of the Savior are sweet to me. They're true. They're wonderful. To be honest with you, narrow ways usually are really dim alleys. But the narrow way that I'm traveling has the light that I need. And the light that I'm looking for. And God's path is bright and God's path leads the way to home. I love the fact that it's this way, that God's path is discoverable. You ever gotten lost on a pathway, got out in the middle of trails or something like that, got out in the woods? We tried that one time. We tried to get out into some woods and tried to hiking and said, well, we're just going to take the yellow. And I think the white path and the yellow path merged, and the yellow was fading to white, or the white was fading to yellow, one or the other, and they all got all, as Pastor says, discombobulated. Or at least I did. But that pathway is leading us home, and the pathway is discoverable. Why is that pathway that leads to life discoverable? Because John chapter number 14, Jesus Christ is speaking to His disciples. He says, the way that I go, ye know, and you know the way. And Thomas even said, Lord, how do we know? Where do we know what direction you're going in? In John chapter number 14, verse number 6, he says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way. Thank God that He is the way that we can go to, that He is the only way to salvation. He is the only way to heaven. He is the only way. But thank God that there is a path that leads to life that's going to be a delight for us one day. What a glorious day that that's going to be. Say, Brother Shane, well, what are you talking about? Well, some of my most favored verses that we have, Revelation chapter number 21. Very first verse begins to go and begins to say it like this. Verse number 21, or chapter number 1 and verse number 20, or chapter number 21, verse number 1 in the book of Revelation. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Then verse number 4, it says this, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, nor neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. You say, Brother Shane, the pathway that I'm leading may not be the pathway that you're talking about. Oh, I encourage you today, get on the right path. That pathway is God's way. That pathway has a leader, and it is God Himself. That pathway has a light. It is Jesus Christ Himself and the Word of God. That pathway leads to life, and you want to be on this pathway. The Lord's going to be in the center of our worship. That path leads to that wonderful place where the corruption of this world will not be present. See, our prayer should be just this. As David was praying, he's praying, God, show me thy paths. Show me thy ways. And that should be a daily prayer of ours. God, show me my path, your path that you want me to go on. Show me your ways, God, that I might know exactly the direction that I need to go in today. Show me your paths. I'm thankful that He does not hide them from us, Brother Wade. He doesn't try to play hide and seek with us. He will freely open His arms and open the Word of God, and you'll be able to see the path that He wants us to take. Let's stand all over the building. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the path that you have given to each and every one of us.